Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. Thank you, Pastor Chuan Wei, for this opportunity to share God's word. It's a great joy to serve together with Pastor Chuan Wei and all the pastors and all the brothers and sisters here. We all want to be happy forever, but everyone will undergo the suffering in life. We all want to be happy, but why is this world full of pain? Where is the way out for us humans? Today, I would like to share with you the message, Paradise Lost. Let's read the scripture from Genesis chapter 3, 1 to 7. Please stand up and we read God's word together. Genesis verses 3, 1 to 7, 1 to 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually said, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you and praise you because you are gracious and merciful. You created mankind with the intention of blessing us, but because of sin, we have suffering in this world. Father, we ask you to open the eyes of our hearts so that we may recognize how great and wonderful you are. Help us to return away from our own paths and follow you so that we may be blessed. May you grant great grace and blessings to each one of us. We pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The message we are sharing today is Paradise Lost. The first verse of the Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 describes how God, through His Spirit and His powerful word, created heavens and the earth and everything in them on 6 days. On the sixth day, God created land, animals, and us, mankind, in the image of God. In chapter 2, we see specifically that God created Adam and Eve. God bestowed upon Adam and Eve an identity of honor, a pleasant environment in the Garden of Eden, a meaningful and fulfilling work, and a perfect companion. God granted Adam and Eve great freedom, but He also gave them one and only command to obey. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve did not obey God's command, and as a result, their single disobedience led to the loss of paradise and affect all of mankind. The story of the loss of paradise is inseparable from the serpent's temptation, but even more so from Eve, who took the initiative, and Adam, who remained silent. The serpent was merely an external cause. Adam and Eve were the internal cause, and they were the most crucial factors. Let us begin with sharing. Eve rushes to be leader. Eve rushes to be leader. First, speaking with the serpent. The fall of mankind begins with Eve's conversation with the serpent. Genesis chapter 3, 1 to 3. Now the serpent was more craft than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" First, in Genesis 3:1, we see that the serpent said to the woman, not the man. Behind the serpent is who? Behind the serpent is Satan. The question the serpent asked was something Adam had first-hand knowledge of directly from God. This raised our first question. Why didn't the serpent approach Adam directly? When God gave the command about what could and could not be eaten, Eve had not yet been created. Therefore, what Eve knew was likely passed on to her by Adam, although it is possible that God later communicated this directly to Eve, but the Bible does not mention this. The serpent knew that Adam had the first-hand information, so why did he approach Eve instead of Adam? Why did the serpent approach Eve instead of Adam? Furthermore, Adam was also present at the time. Later, verses 6 tells us Adam was with Eve at that time. Second, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, we read that the woman said to the serpent, this leads to our second question. Why did Eve engage in conversation with the serpent? We might think that since the serpent had already spoken, it would be normal for Eve to respond. Otherwise, it might seem impolite. As a side note, before the fall of mankind, people had dominion over all the animals, including the serpent, so Eve had no reason to fear the serpent. However, since this serpent was speaking, Eve should have been extremely cautious. Eve, however, was not cautious, but instead engaged in conversation with the serpent. This was dangerous. If Eve had said to the serpent, "You should ask my husband," or if she had turned to Adam and said, "The serpent has asking the question, please respond to him, please respond to it," perhaps the fate of mankind would have been different. Of course, this is just speculation. Eve's problem was, first, speaking with the serpent. Second, she's unclear about the truth. She's unclear about the truth. How did Eve fail for the deception? Let's compare Eve's response to the serpent with God's command to Adam. Eve's response to the serpent was, "We made eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" God's command to Adam was in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You might surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." When we compare what the woman said to the serpent with what God said to Adam, we find that Eve's understanding of the truth was somewhat unclear or blurred. Eve's fundamental problem was that she diminished the weight of God's word. She diminished the weight of God's word, which led her to compromise on the truth. God said, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of the evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Eve said, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." God did not say, "Neither shall you touch it." But Eve ate this, indicating that she was unclear about what God said. God said, "You shall surely die," which is definite and absolute, is very sure. But Eve said, "Lest you die," meaning the word, missing the word surely. Eve just said, "Lest you die," missing the word surely, which carried ambiguity and the thought of, will we really die if we eat? In other words, the lack of emphasis on the word surely significantly weakens God's meaning that you shall surely die. God's words are always definite and sure, while the devil's words are ambiguous. Devil's words are ambiguous. The devil said, "You will not surely die." But he didn't say, "You will surely not die." However, it is difficult for people to discern the devil's scheme because the devil often speaks what people want to hear. In Genesis 3, verse 4 to 5, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" The devil's tactics are twofold. First, to make people doubt God's absolute authority. Second, to make people doubt God's absolute goodness. The devil deceived Eve with smooth words, questioning God's authority. Hadn't God said that you would surely die the day that you ate the fruit? But maybe God's words are not sure. Maybe God's words are not true. Even if you eat it, you won't necessarily die. God's words don't carry absolute authority or certainty. The devil always tries to sow seeds of doubt in people's heart, causing them to question the absolute truth of God's word and his supreme authority. To doubt God's absolute authority. Next, the devil may even doubt God's absolute goodness. Why doesn't God want you to eat the fruit of that tree? Actually, God is holding something back from you. The fruit of that tree isn't bad at all. In fact, it's very good. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Because God is holding something better from you, he doesn't want you to be as wise as he is. So he said, you will surely die if you eat it. But the truth is, if you eat it, you will become wiser with your eyes opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Eve, because she was unclear about the truth, she could not withstand Satan's temptation and ate the forbidden fruit. Eve's issue was, first, speaking with the serpent. Second, she was unclear about the truth. And third, taking the lead over her husband. Verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was good, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took off its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." Eve not only ate the forbidden fruit herself, but she also gave it to Adam, leading to the tragic fall of mankind into sin. I'm not saying that wives should not share the fruit with their husband. Rather, in the context of the fault, Eve took on the leading load, becoming the head, which was not appropriate. In a family, The man should be the head of the household, and the woman should be a helper. This is the correct order for a family. Why shouldn't a woman take the lead? Why should a woman listen to her husband? To understand this, we must look at God's creation. We must look at God's creation and His desired role for man and woman. Genesis chapter 2, 18, verse 18 says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" Eve was created to be a companion and helper. Companion implies equality. It's equal. While helper is alone with a significant responsibility, it is not second-class citizen. In many cases, a helper might be stronger than the one being helped in certain areas. For example, a secretary might be more skilled than her boss in typing, formatting, or organizing documents. However, a helper is not the leader. God appointed Eve as a helper, which defined her position and her role. When Eve spoke to the serpent and made a decision without consulting Adam, that's a big problem. Eve ate the forbidden fruit and then gave it to Adam to eat as well. What was the result? Verse 7. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Their eyes were already open to the beginning with. Otherwise, how could they have seen the fruit of the tree was pleasing to the eyes? When their eyes were opened, it wasn't as they imagined, knowing good and evil like God. Instead, they saw their own shame. Satan's temptation always makes people think that God doesn't good enough to them, and that they must relate on themselves to find true happiness. But once you have listened to Satan, you will realize that you have been deceived and have fallen. While people can choose to sin, they cannot choose the consequence of sin that will follow. We can choose to sin, but we cannot choose the consequence of sin that will follow. Verse 8, "And they heard the shout of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.'" When someone has sinned, the first reaction is fear, accompanied by a sense of shame. The first reaction is always to hide. Now, let's reflect on where was Adam during the entire event. In fact, Adam was there the whole time, but he remained silent. He always keeps silent. This is why we call him the silent Adam, the silent Adam. Now let's take a closer look at the silent Adam. The silent Adam first, failing to speak when necessary, failing to speak when necessary. We can see that from the Bible that Adam was with Eve together when this happened. Verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." Who was with her means Adam was with Eve the entire time, not just when she ate the forbidden fruit and then called, "Hey, Adam, come." No, not this case. They were together. This indicates that Adam was present during the entire encounter with the serpent. While Eve was conversing, talking with the serpent, Adam was right there beside her. But what did Adam do? What did Adam say? He did nothing. He said nothing. He kept silent. He kept silent all the time. God's command was given to Adam. Eve was his wife, and Adam, he had the responsibility to protect his wife, Eve. When the serpent spoke to Eve, why did Adam step forward and say, "Hey, why are you talking to my wife? If you have any question, please ask me." Adam should have spoken up clearly what God has commanded. If Adam did this, I think mankind's fate will be different. When Eve called God's word incorrectly, why didn't Adam correct her immediately? When Eve reached out her hand to the forbidden fruit, why didn't Adam grab her hand and tell her that it was absolutely, you should not do that, you should not do that? Adam remained silent throughout, not saying a word. Adam's problem was first, failing to speak up when necessary, and second, following his wife when he should not. The fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was forbidden by God, yet Adam ate it when Eve offered it to him. Adam chose not to follow God's command, but instead listen to his wife. That's really bad. That's really bad. I am not suggesting that a husband should not ignore his wife's opinion, right? A husband should not ignore his wife's input, right? A wise husband, even very wise husband, should still listen to the wife, right? And listen carefully to his wife's perspective and consider her suggestions. However, a husband should not comply with his wife blindly just to please her. Instead, a husband should anchor his decision in God's word, lead his wife back to God's word, lead his wife back to God's command together, rather than being blindly, passively complying to her. Adam's passive, blind compliance led him to eat the forbidden fruit. As a result, sin entered mankind through him. Even though Adam's sin was done passively, God still held him accountable. Adam's problem was first, failing to speak up when necessary. Second, following his wife when he should not. And third, blaming others. The fault was initiated by Eve, yet after it happened, God came looking for Adam, verse 8 to 11. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I command you not to eat?" Eve led the way in sinning. But God did not seek out Eve. Instead, he directly addressed Adam. This might seem unfair. Adam even told God that it was not his fault. He claimed that Eve made all the decision. Adam claimed to God, "Eve made all the decision." Adam said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Adam remained silent until God questioned him, at which point he was forced to respond. Adam's silence indicated his reluctance to lead, but God still held him responsible. Why did God question Adam first instead of Eve? Because Eve was Adam's helper, and Adam was Eve's head. God placed great importance on the principle of leadership and accountability. Leadership and accountability. Adam, you are the head. So regardless of what your wife has done, you are responsible. God intended for man to lead, but Adam was avoiding his responsibilities. God intended woman to be helpers, but Eve took the lead, which goes against the order God established. Any deviation from God's design principles will eventually reveal its flaws. Adam and Eve's failure to adhere to God's principles, Adam's silence, and Eve's assumption of leadership allow Satan's deception to succeed, bringing disaster upon mankind and affecting generations to come, actually all generations. Now let's share the third point, the consequence of sin, paradise lost. The consequence of sin, paradise lost. After Adam and Eve sinned, God came to Adam first. Adam then blamed Eve. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then God asked Eve. Then the Lord God said to verse 14. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." We see that after man has sinned, the first reaction was fear, following by hiding. And when forced to confront the situation, they blame others. Adam blamed his wife and Eve. And Adam blamed his wife and even implied God was at fault, right? Not only my wife, but God, you also, you have a problem. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. If it weren't for you giving me this woman, if it weren't for you giving me this woman, I wouldn't have eaten the fruit from the tree. I wouldn't have sinned. It is all your fault, God. Eve blamed the serpent. The serpent deceived me and I ate. If it wasn't for the serpent deceiving me, I wouldn't have eaten the fruit from the tree. I wouldn't have sinned. It is all the serpent's fault. If God, you don't create a serpent, I will not sin. However, after sinning, blaming others does not remove the consequence or the punishment of that sin. God then pronounced the punishment, starting with Eve. God said to the woman, God said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." In this context, desire refers to the desire for control. Because sin has entered mankind, the original perfect and harmonious marital relationship between man and woman has become one where the wife desires to control the husband, and the husband desires to dominate the wife, to dominate the wife. This is indeed a tragedy for mankind, but it reflects the reality for many, many families. God also pronounced the punishment for Adam in verse 19. "By the sweat of your brow you will eat for food until you return to the ground. Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Afterwards, God expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden and send angels to guard the way back. God gave Adam and Eve perfect blessings. He granted them the great freedom and only gave them one command. However, they failed to keep this single command. and were ultimately driven out of Eden, God said, "But out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Even though Adam and Eve's physical body did not die immediately, they were separated from God's presence, which is spiritual death. Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden. I imagine as they look back at Eden, remembering all its beauty, their hearts were broken. And to Adam, God said to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I command you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life." Today, we are sharing the message, Paradise Lost. What kind of reflection and applications can today's message bring us? I think first, obeying God's command is sin. Disobeying God's command is sin. Sin is failing to obey God's commands in action, attitude, or nature. Eve saw that a fruit from the tree was very pleasing, so he picked and ate it. Is this motive and action considered a sin? No, it is not. The issue is that God had a specific command that they must not eat the fruit from that particular tree. Disobeying God's command is a sin. When Adam ate a fruit that his wife had picked, is that a sin? Is Adam eat his wife's fruit is a sin? No, this is not. The problem is, this is God's command forbidden. God has a specific command that they must not eat fruit from this particular tree. Again, eating a fruit is not a sin, but disobeying God's command is a sin. Second, obeying God's command brings blessing. Obeying God's command brings blessing. We must obey God's commands to attain true happiness. Everyone desires blessings, but not many are willing to follow God's commands. This is the root of a human's problem. Everyone desires blessings, but not many are willing to follow God's commands. This is the root of humanity's problem. Why must we obey God's commands to find true happiness? Because God is love and He is our Creator. God knows what is good for us and what is not. The tragedy of mankind is the same as the tragedy of Adam and Eve. They saw happiness apart from God. We saw happiness apart from God. This is Adam and Eve's problem, and this is our problem. God placed Adam and Eve in the perfect garden of Eden, giving them the almost complete freedom, right? Only one forbidden. But why did God also give them a command, the only command, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Because God is God and man is man. Although mankind are created in the image of God, they are not God. Mankind's freedom is not absolutely or unlimited. We must listen to God's word to live out the purpose of which we were created, to glorify God and to enjoy Him and His presence. Eve, because she was unclear about the truth, fell to Satan's temptation and ate the forbidden fruit, then gave it to Adam. Adam loved his wife more than loved God, and failed to keep God's commandment, and also succumbed to Satan's temptation, ate the forbidden fruit. The result was sin entered into mankind through Adam, and all are sinned. And all are sinned. That's the tragedy of mankind. Because the wages of sin is death. And Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, because of our sin, our eternity is in hell, separating from God. But the good news is that God loved the people He created so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. And Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and later died for human on the cross and prepared the salvation for mankind, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Jesus' birth and coming, because in Adam we all lost. In Adam we all lost. That's why we share paradise lost. But Jesus Christ came to this world to save us, to prepare the salvation for us. So Jesus is the path for us to come back to the paradise, to gain eternal life, to be with God together again. Dear friends, if you have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, I urge you, I plead you to confess that you are also a sinner. I plead you to ask Jesus for His forgiveness. And I plead you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And then you will have eternal life. Your sin is forgiven, and you will also have eternal life and an abundant life. If you are willing to accept Jesus Christ, friends, I encourage you to talk to one of the pastors or talk to a sister or brother. We want to help you to get to know Jesus and really get this eternal life. And then we can truly come back to the true Eden. There we have eternal life. We want to encourage you to get to know Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Adam and Eve were already like God because they were created in His image. Why then did they desire to be like God, knowing good and evil? It turns out that wanting to be like God means wanting to have absolute control, free from God's guidance. If what God knows is also what I know, then why should I follow God? This way, I can completely free myself from dependence on God and be entirely independent. Adam and Eve longed for such freedom, but they did not realize that freedom without God's leads to a path of self-destruction. Freedom without God leads to a path of self-destruction. God gives us greater freedom and free will, but also gives us some limitations to keep us on the path of truth in order to keep us from the true freedom. Disobeying God and rejecting His limits is like a chain draining. It might seem free, but actually it leads to disaster or even self-destruction. In mainland China, many years ago, on April 28, 2008, a train from Beijing to Qingdao derailed in Jinan and colliding with another train. This caused the derailment of the other trains, a locomotive, and five carriages, resulting in 70 deaths and 416 people injured. Derailment is not freedom, it is a disaster. Derailment is not freedom, it is disaster. Many understand that a train must operate within the track to be safe and freed. But many people don't realize that you must live within the boundary of God's truth to be truly safe and freed. May the Lord open our eyes and hearts to understand that true freedom and happiness come from obeying God's command. True freedom and happiness come from obeying God. God's design for a family is there. The husband is the head and the wife is the helper. In today's society, many families are led by human wisdom, where the loudest voice often prevails, leading Eve's rushing to be the leaders and the passive silent Adam that badly follows, bringing much sorrow and suffering in families. We pray there for the Lord to help us trust God's wisdom and goodness. God's desire for a family is there. The husband is the head of the wife, and the wife is the helper to the husband. God's desire is that the husband leads with courage, with love, and the wife helps willingly with love, both according to God's word. In this way, the family will surely be blessed and happy. May each of us, as brothers and sisters in faith, trust in God's wisdom and goodness and willingly obey His word. And may each of our friends, may those who have not yet believed, soon become a believer, trust in Jesus Christ, have eternal life, and receive true blessing from God. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are the Almighty God and the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we ask that You help us to turn from our self-centered thoughts and behaviors and not rely on our own wisdom. Lord, help us to trust You wholeheartedly and follow You faithfully. O Lord, bless each of us with Your grace and mercy. We pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.